You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
Hey guys, it's Chris, and welcome to another episode of Chris Talks Games. Here with another show for you guys. Slightly interesting topic. I did struggle to what to do for this week's podcast, so I have done something kind of interesting. Interesting in my eyes. I'm not sure whether it will be as interesting to others, but yeah, as thinking of shows like E3 and if they're still relevant, I think. But first of all, we're going to start off with some news, and then I'll get going with my discussion piece a bit later. Okay, so got a few news headlines for you. First up is some surprising news coming from game developers in terms of big name departures from studios. This isn't exactly new news. I think it's been out about a week, so I probably have heard of this already. But Coalition, the developers of Gears of War, have had Rod Ferguson leave, who is quite high up in the studio, quite well known for his work on Gears of War. He has left to go to Blizzard to run the Diablo series, so that'd be interesting to see how that goes. He's not the first person to go from Microsoft to Activision Blizzard as well. So I think Activision and Blizzard are throwing some money towards some big talent. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with both the Gears of War series going forward and Diablo. Because it was quite a big bit of news when it came out that he was leaving. Probably the bigger departure is that of Dan Houser, who was a co-founder of Rockstar Games. He has left Rockstar, which was announced by Take-Two. What makes this big news is the fact there's been no kind of expansion or explanation of where he's gone or why he's left. It's just saying he's left. He was a co-founder of Rockstar, so whether he's still like a silent partner getting money from it, or whether he's been bought out, or whether he's decided to retire after the games he's made. It'd be interesting to see what happens there. There's been some speculation he might turn up at another video game company, which would be interesting to see. Considering his CV includes games like Red Dead Redemption, and obviously Grand Theft Auto 5, and Bully, and all that kind of stuff. He is known for some well-known games, so potentially some big. If he wants to go somewhere else, it could be some big news. It's just the fact that he did kind of go. He was a co-founder, so it's whether he had disagreements with Take-Two or was anything behind the scenes there. But not the kind of news I normally talk about on my show, but it was interesting because it's people known for their creativity and known for certain games or projects. So it'll be interesting to see how the games series carry on without these people being involved in them. Could really shake it up a bit. Next bit of news. Animal Crossing's been making the news recently. Still a lot that we don't know about the game. It's due out at the end of March, March 20th. So a lot of people are expecting a Nintendo Direct of some sort, which might have a focus on it, or Animal Crossing specific Direct. Wait and hope for a Nintendo Direct. Because I'll be quite interested to see what Nintendo have got lined up for this year. There's a lot we don't know about. We don't really know much about what's coming this year for Nintendo. And it'd be good if we could have kind of confirmation and see what Nintendo are throwing up against the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X later on in the year. Animal Crossing has been causing some confusion due to some of the specifications coming out. There is one thing where it's been announced you can have one island per system, not per user on the system, but one Animal Crossing island per Nintendo Switch system, per copy of games. So it's kind of quite interesting that they are taking that approach to it. So you can't really have it where each user on the Switch has their own island. Be interesting to see why they've taken that approach. I'm not too sure. And also the cloud saving, backing up your save. They have announced that you can't back up your saves using the Nintendo Switch Online traditional cloud storage and backup, but they haven't really explained how you can, because I think they are working on a Animal Crossing specific way of backing up your game save. But it's something they haven't announced how it's going to work, haven't announced specifics of. So it's kind of like they haven't really figured out how to do that yet. So I know it had caused some uproar and a bit of backlash, where people were saying that you couldn't back up your island, you couldn't move your island. Say you went from one Nintendo Switch to the other, you couldn't move your island across from one game, from one console to the other. It has been quite divisive and quite incendiary, and got Animal Crossing fans riled up a little bit. So it'd be interesting to see how Nintendo do go forward with the Animal Crossing cloud backup saves. Animal Crossing, I think it'll be a big game, but it's just there are things they do need to work out. Another Nintendo news. Nintendo Switch has now sold over 12 million units in Japan alone. Recent Famitsu sales charts have shown that Nintendo Switch has smashed past 12 million consoles in Japan alone in less than 3 years, which is a really impressive figure. I believe it's one of the fastest, if not the fastest, console to manage that. Nintendo is kind of ruling Japan at the moment with the Switch. And it is taking Japan by storm, which is really cool to see. Got one last little bit of news. I can't remember if I mentioned it in one of my news reports before, but Matt can't remember mentioning it, so I'm going to throw it in here again. It has officially been confirmed that Sony are not going to be attending this year's E3 in America, in Los Angeles, in June. They famously gave it a miss last year. Some people weren't overly surprised because of the fact there wasn't a ton of PS4 games to show off last year. But this year, seeing the reveal and launch of the PlayStation 5, a lot of people were expecting them to be there and have a bit of a presence there. Not saying the PlayStation 5 won't be at E3 at all, it's just the third-party developers might be having it right there rather than Sony having their own stand there showing off their titles. But yeah, this is going to tie into my conversation piece in a minute. It is really kind of a bit of a surprise that Sony are taking the decision to sit out E3 this year, but there is some speculation that Sony and the ESA, who run E3, don't have the best working relationship. They have reportedly had clashes in the past and several disagreements about certain things. So maybe that there's something that didn't work out in the negotiations or the planning, and Sony have decided not to bother with it, or not to, and just kept on clashing with the ESA. But Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do, because I have said they will be going to other events, so I imagine Ajax is going to be there, Gamescon. I know they're going to be at PAX, is either PAX East or PAX West at the end of February. They're going to be there with Final Fantasy VII demo, and probably Last of Us 2, I think. So yeah, I think I think Sony are doing other events around the place, but they are giving E3 a miss. But like I said, I think in my conversation piece, it might shed more light on some of the reasons why some of the companies are choosing not to go out there. So yeah, that's my news headlines for today. And then we'll crack on to our main subject. Okay, so my subject is a bit weird. It's kind of my thoughts on gaming expos, E3 in particular, and if that's still relevant, really. Because I was thinking, like, each kind of gaming expo has its pros and cons at the moment. And just my kind of bit of nostalgia a bit about E3 in particular and things like that. I'll talk through my thoughts and everything like that. So yeah, it's gonna be a bit of a weird one. We're gonna start off with E3. E3 happens every June. It is the most well-known gaming expo in the world, with maybe the Tokyo Game Show being an exception. It happens every June. It's usually renowned for the place where all the big games get announced, all the big things get announced. It is where pretty much a majority of massive announcements take place. Once upon a time, if you're making an announcement, it would be at E3. And E3 was a time of year you waited for to get all your big announcements, see all the latest games in action. So Nintendo have had massive reveals, like they first showed off Twilight Princess there, to one of the most thundering reactions ever seen. Nintendo also showed off the Wii when it's still known as Revolution. Before they announced the rename, they showed off the what the console looked like. They showed off the DS there. Obviously Sony have unveiled numerous consoles. Microsoft normally reveal their consoles there, or during E3. Once upon a time, it was the place for the gaming announcements. Each year, I remember being in my late teens, between 16 and 19. I'd log on to various gaming websites, because obviously we're in the UK and E3 happens on the East Coast of America. Although announcements would be happening early evening, so I'd get home from college, or I'd get home from work, and I'd go online, I'd look at what the latest news was, and look at all the videos and trailers. It was really kind of like the thing to do. Like, if you follow gaming, that was like the best week of the year for you. It was like second Christmas in the summer. You get all your announcements, you get all your new games. And you would normally get bombshell moments, stuff you wouldn't expect, stuff you didn't really think you'd see. To me, it's a little bit sad seeing how much it's kind of fallen from grace a bit. Cody's just playing with one of his toys. E3 has kind of taken a bit of a fall from grace. And I think more and more companies are not putting as much time into it or using other means. So Nintendo haven't done a live stage show there for a good 5 or 6 years at least. It has been a fair few years, maybe even longer than that. Might be closer to 8 years that they haven't done a live show at E3, opting for like their direct style presentations instead, like they always do on at E3. They do always have a big presence on the show floor. I think a lot of the time Nintendo's stands at E3 are among the best. They go all out with the themes. But yeah, it is kind of just a bit sad to see. See companies move away from it, like, because Nintendo have got, like I said, they've got their Nintendo Directs. They don't have to wait for E3 now to make their announcements. They can do that anytime they want to do a Nintendo Direct. When they're ready for announcement, they'll just put in Nintendo Direct. EA doesn't really get involved. They do their own event nearby. And Microsoft, even though they class it as E3, they don't actually have a stand in the main venue. Because Microsoft own a theatre, which is literally across the road from where the main E3 event is. So E3 are in the Staples Centre in Los Angeles, I believe, and it used to be the Nokia Theatre, I think, that Microsoft used. So Microsoft don't actually officially join E3, but they have their stuff going on across the road in a separate venue. So even though Microsoft do kind of say they're part of E3, they don't really contribute to the event itself, really. I'm trying to think about why kind of E3 is kind of waning in popularity a bit. It's just a shame. I know they have opened it up to the general public rather than just having it for gaming press, which used to just literally be gaming press, but now they do have general public tickets. I know the first year they didn't really handle it very well, and they're saying that the queues for a lot of games got out of hand and people pretty much spent the whole day waiting for queues in some instances. So yeah, it's a bit of a shame that it's been mismanaged in that regard, but whether they're learning from their mistakes, I'm not sure. I think it's becoming a bit less trading, more kind of consumery, which is potentially a good or a bad thing. Imagine it's potentially bad because you get less press coverage on it. The press aren't, because people can go there and play their own games, the press maybe won't cover so much stuff in detail. And I think a lot of video games companies are like deciding whether or not to do it now, which is kind of a big concern. Because I'm not going to lie, E3, I think the price of doing it is insane. I have seen reports of some companies spend millions on their E3 events, so like the stands, staff in the stands. There's the fact that in most cases I'd have to develop a specific demo or tailor a demo for the event, so you'd have to take time out of the development of the game or some people out of the development of the game to make this demo. Which is also another consideration. It's like margin cost there. It's being at E3 isn't cheap. Because apparently the floor space is among the most expensive in any kind of industry event or trade event. So it's not cheap to stand there. Then once you brought your time and effort and money into making your demos, staffing your booths, making your booths. Yeah, you can see why some companies may be deterred from doing it and why Microsoft maybe prefer to use their own venue, which is across the road. Because obviously they won't have to pay so much or anything really for the use of the space. Obviously they still have to use the money for the demos and the time for the demos and stuff like that, and they'll have to man their events and kind of get all the marketing tools done. But yeah, it is kind of quite an expensive thing to do, going to E3. And I think where once upon a time you didn't really have the social media aspect, like you used to have the big conferences where it'd be all the companies live on stage, showing off games, and then they'd have like developers come out and talk, stuff like that. Yeah, you'd have all that. With the advent of social media, stuff like YouTube, you just put a trade online, you can probably get more coverage from that than you would an E3 press conference, which is a bit of a shame. But I think ever since Nintendo moved away from their live presentations to their directs, the quality of them has been better. Because a lot of it, with the press conference, Nintendo had to talk about the business stuff as well. So you'd have like a lot of time spent to business and kind of projected sales, stuff like that. And it took away a bit from the fun. Microsoft still do live presentations around E3. But they can be quite extensive and quite long. But they do quite often have some good stuff there as well, which is a bit of a conundrum with that. Yeah, I think just the ease of social media and just literally, again, the cost effectiveness of just putting a trader online rather than having to edit it, then hire a venue to have your presentation. You just have to pay for edit and then upload it to YouTube and your website and you're done. I think cost is a big factor for a lot of companies there. I think the thing that's really hitting E3 at the moment is the fact that, like I say, there are big names sitting out, like EA don't really do it. Microsoft have their own thing nearby. And last year and this year, Sony are not going to be in attendance. Last year, a lot of people understood, because obviously it was like not a massive year for PlayStation 4 games. Like, they had a few things in the pipeline, but not enough to really warrant a whole kind of presentation and stand and booth. Whereas this year, the launch of PlayStation 5 coming up, a lot of people were expecting the PlayStation 5 to be fully revealed by then. And so the launch games all announced. So you would have thought that they would have jumped to go to E3 to get it all shown off, make the most of any press coverage. But they are deciding to sit the event out again this year. They are, I think, using the money to do other things elsewhere. So they're having their own individual events and and they're calling it the PlayStation Experience. And they are looking at doing other smaller expos, I think, as well. And going more worldwide with it rather than kind of spending a big chunk of their marketing budget on E3. I think also, I can't remember if I mentioned this in the news a bit earlier, I think Sony and the ESA who organise E3 have had a bit of a rocky relationship in the past. So yeah, so I think with E3, I think if they're not getting along, if they're not being able to sort out any sort of real negotiational deal, or if Sony don't think is worth what they're paying for it. There's not really a massive surprise that if they don't go with the company, they're not going to be there. Talking of the ESA, they did have quite a major security problem last year where a list of all the press people actually leaked online. And it was full details for pretty much a lot of the press who were in attendance at E3 last year. So yeah, it was a pretty serious event, pretty serious breach of privacy, which a lot of people are still very wary of and very kind of don't think they're really being forgiven for. Yeah, I think the shame of E3 is, like, I remember being a kid and really looking forward to it. That was one week where I'd be really excited to see what got announced. Had hopes and dreams about what being announced. I still do have hopes and dreams. Like, whenever I watched any of the conferences, I was like, oh, I hope they do this, hope they do that. But it's just, I don't know, it kind of feels a bit lackluster sometimes. Like 2017, I believe. Ubisoft had an incredible conference. That's when they announced Mario and Rabbids. And yeah, it was a really amazing conference. Like, that you did really well. Very years since then, I think Ubisoft have been a bit declined on terms of their quality of conference. So no, 2018, they had they had Star Fox in Starlink, which was a massive announcement, and that was about it, really. Wasn't any kind of massive, a few bits here and there, but you got a bit formulaic. And 2019's E3 presentation, I just really didn't like from Ubisoft. I think they just kind of, they had numerous technical glitches, didn't show off anything massively exciting in terms of games, because everything got leaked beforehand, partly by them as well. But yeah, it's just like really kind of, I think for me, the E3 is losing its shine a bit because companies aren't just using E3 for announcements. Because Sony's obviously started their State of Play presentations, which are like the Nintendo Directs. Nintendo have obviously got the Nintendo Directs, which are really good. I think a lot of people are using social media now. They'll just post a trailer on when they're ready to announce it. And Sony to wait for E3 or anything like that. It's a bit of a shame, like I say, it's a bit sad to see E3 kind of losing its popularity and reputation as something that shouldn't be missed. But to be fair, I think the concept of gaming conventions and stuff like that is something that's really great. Because obviously you've had mine and the Game Junkies podcasts around October last year. We had the EGX podcasts when we were at EGX. And yeah, like, we had an amazing time. It was a brilliant time. Like, obviously I ended up working on Nintendo stand. It was an amazing atmosphere. Really great. And EGX does keep growing, like, it seems to be getting bigger and bigger each year, but it's not without its problems. Like, I went quite a few times in London, really enjoyed it. Then one year I went up to, when it was at the NEC as a guest, it was like a visitor, I went there with, basically like a 2-day ticket to, as a consumer. And I don't know if it was just because it was in the NEC and the change of venue, but I just really didn't enjoy it as much. I think the atmosphere got lost a bit. Well, what I loved at Earl's Court, and like the kind of vibe and buzz just wasn't really there at the NEC. The following year when I went and my first year working in Nintendo and I was on the Nintendo Labo bit, the atmosphere seemed to come back a bit more, but I have to admit, that was the first year that Microsoft didn't do it, and it kind of shocked me a bit, and you kind of felt them not being there. So yeah, the fact that Microsoft wasn't there was kind of a bit of a surprise, a bit of a blow. Because the year before, their stand had been really popular, really busy, quite a bit of buzz and excitement going around it. So yeah, to find them not there was a bit kind of bit of a loss. Even though I know the last couple of years I haven't had a ton of exclusive stuff, and when the time of year that EGX was, a lot of Sony games had come out already. Some of their big winter games have come out already, so it's a bit of a, so they didn't really have anything new to show off. But it's the same last year, they set out last year as well, which, again, it wasn't a massive year for Xbox games, wasn't a great deal of exclusives, but it was a bit sad and a bit kind of disappointed to see them not there. So yeah, I think, both EGX and E3, even though they're well respected, and even though EGX is a massive event, EGX, I do feel, is getting a bit kind of, but I think everyone will be there this year for EGX, I think, because Nintendo have been getting bigger and bigger with their stands each year. Like Nintendo's stand at EGX last year, even though I am biased, nowhere else had an energy like it. Like, the vibe and the energy around, the kind of buzz and energy around EGX is great. And the Nintendo stand, like, no other stand had that energy or vibe. Especially the main stage. It all comes down to, like, the MCs, Nims and Mark with a C, who were brilliant. They kept everyone entertained, and they were interacting with the people in the stands around them, stuff like that. Because they had Avengers the opposite side of the main walkway, and they had another, I think it was like a PC game, on across by the other walkways, and they were interacting with the different people in the queues. So, like, Avengers queues, how are we doing? So yeah, it's all really cool trying to entice people in, and they did an amazing job, and they had amazing games. They had, like, music. They had really intense, like, edgy seat stuff to watch, like the Tetris 99. Battle Royale Tetris. Very simple, but it grabbed everyone's attention, and people were hooked. There's me trying to demo Mario and Sonic at the Tokyo Olympic Games. Well, no, Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games, Tokyo 2020, sorry. I was trying to show off that game without being distracted by Tetris and watching someone trying to win Tetris 99 and getting extremely close. But I'm getting a bit more specific and not necessarily talking about gaming expos in general, but yeah, it's, even though I enjoy EGX, I can't deny that the atmosphere and like the kind of feel has changed a bit. So I'm hoping this year that we'll be a much bigger year with the fact we've got the new consoles there. And hopefully Microsoft will be there again. With my new job, I am hoping to try and get up there to at least as a visitor rather than necessarily working it. I'd love to work it again, but there's no guarantees I'd actually be able to get the time off, unfortunately, this year. But I really want to try and make it there in some capacity this year. But I have to try a case of wait and see what happens, I think. But yeah, I'd love to be there this year to see the atmosphere, see the new consoles and the new games. So I think it has potentially a big year. But there's hope that Nintendo Microsoft and Sony all decide to turn up this year to EGX. Can't see why they wouldn't, because it's normally October time, so that would be literally around the time that the consoles are due to launch, so it will be a massive, massive event for them to have like the consoles on show and try and get interest just before they come out. But yeah, it will be interesting to see how, what is EGX this year and how it is handled. The other kind of experts to mention are, you have Gamescom, which is August in Germany. You are finding more and more there are announcements here, and this is, and Gamescom is also where a lot of like world championship events happen. So no, I think there's Splatoon European finals happen there. And there's a Super Smash Brothers event there as well. So yeah, Gamescom is a massive thing in terms of the competitive gaming, I think. And you are, like I say, do find there are more announcements that are coming out of Gamescom. Some more companies are moving a bit more to Gamescom for announcements as well. And like I say, Tokyo Game Show, I don't really see much about. It tends to be very much Japanese-focused games. And I think a lot of it is behind-closed-doors business. It's where a lot of companies go and they have meeting rooms and they kind of, like, organise deals and events and kind of, so end up making deals and changing things around. And I think, I remember someone saying that Tokyo Game Show is the one for where companies go for business. They go, they get deals, they get like try and organise exclusives or try and encourage ports to their systems, stuff like that. So yeah, it's kind of, Tokyo Game Show is a very more business orientated one, I think. Yeah, it's all interesting to see how the gaming expo landscape's changing. Especially E3, because E3, once upon a time, was the event. It was the gaming event of the year. Every June, you'd have a few weeks where you'd look forward to everything. Just strange to see it go, really, and kind of how much it has declined. And, like, I just don't think it's what it used to be. I think it's getting massively expensive for companies to attend. The ESA has issues itself it needs to resolve and sort out. Their own controversies as well, because I think they've had issues surrounding loot boxes and in-game purchases which could be considered as gambling, stuff like that. And I think they've kind of mishandled some of that kind of stuff in a lot of people's eyes. So yeah, it is kind of really interesting thing to think of. Like I say, I love a gaming expo. Like, if you do get a chance to go to one, please do, because it's great. You get to play the latest games. A lot of games that aren't out yet. If you love indie games, then the indie scene is exploding at gaming expos. There are so many games that end up at gaming expos from indie developers. The indie section of EGX just keeps on growing and growing and growing. Which again is a good or bad thing. I don't know how to view that, really. Would you rather see the big AAA titles, or would you rather see a lot of indie titles? It's a tough point to call, really, because, I'm not going to lie, there are some indie games that are fantastic, but a lot of times I do really want to try and see the bigger games, so yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that all works out with that. But yeah, I hope you kind of understand my waffling and kind of want to talk about this, because a bit of nostalgia, really, like the fact that it's a bit of a shame that E3 is losing its kind of its significance in a way. But I think it is some of its own making, where it's just making it too expensive for a lot of developers, and there are issues going on, both for their privacy and in terms of their relationships with publishers and developers. Yeah, it's just such a shame to see such a great event kind of lose its kind of main event status, really. But don't get me wrong, I do love the Nintendo Direct approach. Like, I like how, I think I've said before in the podcast, how Nintendo are mastering the mic drop, where you will get a genuinely shocking reveal or revelation at the end of a lot of directs. Yeah, it's like, I think it's a good way to go. Hell of a lot cheaper. Just edit it in-house. Put it online. And then you're done. Wait for it to be shared around, and all reactions to go out to it and stuff like that. But like I say, I really kind of wanted to see what you guys think about the whole Gaming Expo thing. Like, have you been to a Gaming Expo? Is it something you'd love to do? Like, if you have, what's your thoughts on the situation? Like, do you have any memories of waiting 3-3 for announcements and stuff like that? Or do you have any kind of memories from the past concerning gaming exhibitions that you kind of miss or kind of feel isn't the same as it used to be? Yeah, it is just really kind of, it's kind of sad and scary how social media is kind of taking away a lot of stuff. Because one of the great benefits, I think, of trade expos and like gaming conventions is you can actually go hands on the game. You get the demo, you can go hands on with it, you can play it, you can see how you get on with it. So yeah, I think it'd be a shame if they were to kind of lose momentum and stop altogether. I would be sad if E3 goes. So I know they did lose their way a bit. At one point, they weren't going to have it in the convention centre. They were going to have it just off in offices, where all the press got invited around to the different publishers, stuff like that, and then got to spend the time with their games in like an office environment rather than a convention. Luckily, that didn't really stick. I think they tried it 1 year. It kind of really didn't do very well, so they went back to the standard model. Gaming exhibitions and conventions like E3 is something I wish or hope will continue. I think they will, but it's just keeping the momentum up with them, really. That wraps up my ramblings and thoughts for today. This is a good kind of conversation topic. I want to know kind of your thoughts. Like, do you think gaming expos have a place still in the industry? I still think they very much do, and I hope they do keep on going. I just wish they weren't quite as kind of, I don't know what way to put it. I say they're not, they don't carry on declining the way they are. I hope they keep going, and like I say, let me know your thoughts about this. Like, send me a tweet, send me a message. So that is my main conversation piece for this week. In regards to what I've been playing, it is very much Pokemon Sword I've been playing recently. I've now completed all the gyms and beaten the epilogue episode as well, which is a good couple of hours extra on top of the game. It's really cool. And there's still some other stuff I haven't yet done. So you got like the Battle Tower, which I haven't been to. Just been exploring the wild area, getting a load of different Pokemon, which has been really cool. Pokemon Sword has been taking up a lot more time. I've been playing a little bit of Tetris 99, stuff like that. That's pretty much where I'm up to, really. Don't forget to check out the Game Junkies next weekend. I'm sure they've got an amazing show lined up again. They have done a bit of coverage on Pokemon Sword and Shield recently. Kind of hoping they might invite me on at some point to give my thoughts about Pokemon Sword. Now that I have caught up with them and completed the game, it'd be really cool if I do get a chance to speak to them about it. Make sure you check them out next weekend. I'm sure they've got some great lined up for you guys. Normally a lot of fun. If you want to get in touch with me, you can follow me on Twitter at ChrisTheorist37. Check out my Twitter on there. Or I have got my YouTube channel, Chris Reacts. Not gonna lie, there's not been much to react to this month. So I am pretty much waiting for the Nintendo Direct to come along. Which I'm hoping will be soon, and I can record my reaction to that, get that up for you guys. I do like reacting to the Nintendo Directs. They are normally quite a bit of fun to watch. Like I say, I do know there is more than one Chris Reacts apparently on YouTube, so best way to find my account for definite is to go for my Twitter handle and then follow the links and then subscribe through that if you really want to. We'd much appreciate it if you did. But yeah, that wraps me up for tonight. Thank you for listening if you still are. And until next time, speak to you soon.
Podcast is a Matt Attack production for the Visionaries Wrestling Network.